Am and Atara, Lisa Firth, David Burke. We are here with the What in the World podcast, where we talk about weird stuff in the world. A lot of aliens, a lot of archaeological stuff, possibly some other shit, we'll see. The format basically is people ask me questions and I access the Akashic and ramble on. What you got for me today, Dave?
So last time we were talking about the Pleiadians and mucking about with DNA, and not only them, let's not just blame them.
Oh, yeah, sure.
But kind of seems like they were sort of bad actors in the big picture of things. But going away a little bit from them specifically, when we were talking about that, it kind of got me on this string of my own wondering about therianthropes. And these are part animal, part human, for lack of a better term, that we see images of them all the time in ancient sites. Egypt is very famous for them. All of their gods were therianthropes.
Well, and Mesoamerica as well.
Yes. So. Right. And so I was wondering, there are theories about why these things are appearing in cave art even, and in ritualistic settings and ancient advanced civilizations. And so talking about messing around with the DNA, it makes me wonder, did these things actually exist?
So, part of it is shamanic. Part of it is sort of, you know, an experience of you know, synthesis and hallucination sort of thing. Looking at the other side of the veil and that kind of stuff. So Egypt, very specifically, their communication with the home world involved them having to put on not just breastplates like we find in the Middle East, but also helmets. They keep saying headdresses. I'm like, no, I'm seeing a helmet. They discovered that when they fashioned those helmets along the lines of some of our critters, they got a better response from us. So that's very specifically Egypt. In Mesoamerica, there are some gods, aliens, same thing to me, that the ones that weren't half critter, half humanoid, were full on. That was how they presented, you know, like the dragon gods and stuff like that. The ones that were half and half, especially the bird stuff, were hybrids.
Does that include the Thunderbirds?
Thunderbirds to me are more dragon-like than half and half.
Okay.
But yeah, good question. But there was a race that came and colonized that interbred enough that they ended up with, you know, they started off as a lot more bird-like. And as they mixed their DNA more, some humanoid DNA in there, more became, you know, more what was drawn as half and half. There was also, I mean, a lot of the times the local art, if you will, the cave paintings and whatever, was the locals' interpretation of what they saw. If something is outside of our paradigm enough, we either don't see it or we interpret into something that makes more sense to us. So some of the anthropomorphization visually of some of the gods was simply the locals trying to figure out what it was that they were seeing. Some of the colonists were humanish, you know, arms, legs, you know, wings, that kind of stuff. It just really depends on what group was coming down at that particular time. But so there was some interbreeding that created more critter humanoid hybrids. But those also didn't get passed into the general population. It's very interesting. Those ones either died out or went home, and it looks to me more like they died out, like they were non-sustainable. And yeah, you know, those races live longer than the current human lifespan, which helped with the whole God adaptation. But once they were done, they were done. They didn't have children that looked like them. It's very much sort of the mule or liger idea to me, where they couldn't breed.
Would that fit with the Minotaur?
Totally.
And Thoth? Or Toth?
Thoth. Thoth was a fun one. Thoth, so Thoth kind of had like the long nose and shit like that. But yeah, that is a helmet that he was wearing. And he broke the rules. He shared writing with us way before we were supposed to have it. You know, we were not at a level yet where writing was a thing we were supposed to have. We actually had something that no one else had, which is a really, really good memory that only happens when you do mouth to ear, as opposed to writing something down. We learned in a shamanic way. And they screwed that up. It also screwed us up by giving us a fixed idea of time. Which is one of the silliest concepts in the universe. As evidenced by the week in between Christmas and New Year's. all Sunday, all the time. And I've totally lost my train, so what else you got?
So, are you ready for this segue?
Sure.
So we're talking about therianthropes.
Okay.
And one of the interesting things is that, like I said, they keep showing up across continents, across cultures, across time on the planet. One of the places that was really interesting that they showed up, and they haven't even gotten close to finishing excavation there, is Göbekli Tepe. See, I did that for you. So, just in general, you know, now we're talking about Turkey.
Right.
And, like I said, they have not, I think they've estimated they've excavated maybe 20% of what's there.
Okay.
And so, but even the part that they've gotten, and as they keep excavating, they keep getting into older and older territory. The fill from what they're excavating is older and older. And that's just the fill. So the actual structures, which are very regular, very on purpose, very religious in nature, some are even positing that it's part of archaeoastronomy, within the building structure, incorporated into a sort of, I don't want to say temple necessarily, but a religious themed structure. So, I mean, how far back do you think that this structure is going to go?
Well, I got two numbers. It was interesting. As you were talking, I got 40,000 at first, and I thought they were talking about, like, that was the population of the area, but no, I think it was years. But then I also got a kind of far-off, like, little peep of 60,000, but I don't think they're going to uncover that. I think it's too deeply buried under something. Did they have volcanoes in that area?
It was filled manually. I mean,
no, but I'm thinking that, like, something, the bottom layer of this looks like Pompeii to me. Like it's encased in glass or basalt or something.
Oh, interesting. Because I think the structures themselves, I believe, are limestone. I think.
Okay. Which would suggest some kind of volcanic activity, maybe. But yeah, it looks like the earliest part of this got wiped out by what looks to me like volcanic activity, or at least geothermal activity or something. But, I mean, you know, and I'm sitting there and I'm kind of looking and I'm like, did someone fill it in with glass on their own? And no, it looks like it was Gaia. It looks like it was
Earth. For the older stuff.
Yeah, for the really older stuff.
Interesting.
And I don't think they're going to find that. I think they're going to hit the top of it and just go, oh, this is just rock.
Interesting. So so many of the pillars have just such intricately carved bas-relief animals and people, and I've always been curious if it's almost like a DNA depository, or if there's, what's the purpose of all the designs on the pillars?
That. The energy of that area of the world going all the way over to kind of the top of Italy, and going all the way over to, there's a sea over here, I don't know. This site is not the midpoint between the two, but there's a sea over here, it goes that far. The energy of this space is kind of fosters a high level of our artistic drive. So that's part of it. You know, the spirit of space, so to speak, of various places will encourage,
sure,
you know, different actions, and different, I don't know what the word is. Anyway, this is an interesting site to me. I haven't, you know, done any research on it other than, you know, listening to you guys talk about it a little bit. But it looks huge. And it does, it looks like the center or the headquarters or the capital of something. You know, like stuff spread out from here and stuff came back to here. And so it, you know, in most civilizations, religion and government are not as separated as they are, as we're used to in modern times. And certainly when we're talking about ancient ones interacting with the general population here on the planet, they were the same because it was a control thing, you know? Government only happens through control, and control comes from fear. And so if you can represent yourself as a god, and it's not that hard when you have better technology than everybody else because they just assume you're a god, it maintains the safety of your cohort, you know? So this was definitely a place, a central place from which they ran stuff. So, yeah, there would be medical centers where they're collecting DNA and doing experiments of various types. But there's also going to be, like, a collection of other sorts of resources as well there. And there's something super important about that area about counting, which is interesting because when we talk about counting, a lot of the original stuff that the first place we see counting in government, especially, is with the Scroll of Cyrus in Persia. But this predates that. And so it's a different group than we're going to be seeing in Persia, first of all. I mean, there's a big enough time gap that's not surprising at all. Persia was way more Sumerian anyway. This is a different group. And it has some crossover, interestingly, with the stuff around northern China. I don't know why.
Wow, interesting.
Nobody's digging there, so, and there's been enough geological formation with the mountains and stuff that, you know, it may be impossible to find at this point, but there's a crossover between this site and northern China. like possibly even Mongolia, Tibet kind of thing, but yeah. And Tibet is definitely Atlantean, so yeah. But Turkey feels like an entirely different group. It's not the Hathors who you get in Egypt. It's not the Atlantean stuff. Are there any art or geological records, not geological records, but are they finding anything that actually depicts possible divine images, gods, pantheon?
So there are things that are hinted at.
Okay.
There are things that are certainly open to interpretation, like theranthropic images. And the part of the challenge is that it's only maybe 20% excavated.
Right.
At this point.
So I just got a flash.
Yeah.
The stuff that they dug up on Cyprus, the god images that they dug up on Cyprus, are what this group is. But the only place they've found it so far is on Cyprus. Little short squat guys with spots.
Hmm.
And the image I keep seeing of the, you know, not the sculpture depictions of them, but the actual beings, they're the closest thing you're going to get to in modern mythology is going to be like trolls. They're rounded and squat. And they separated themselves more from the general population than a lot of the colonizing groups did. There wasn't as much crossbreeding. It was more about gathering resources. And they had, they were quick to set up intermediaries, priests, whatever, between them and the main population. They didn't care to deal with the main population one-on-one.
It almost feels like cataloging or taxonomy. I mean, just the pillars with the... Because this kind of carving is hard to do. You don't carve into the pillar. You carve the pillar away from the image. So this...
Lasers.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like that.
40,000
years ago.
Going back to my argument with Giorgio. Yeah, I mean, there was like I said, there was counting.
Yeah.
And so it is sort of a cataloging. When you count something for a reason, and
yeah.
It's mostly for cataloging purposes.
Interesting.
And it's almost like they were monitoring some of the hybrid stuff, too, like from other groups.
Okay.
So they may have been part of the oversight body, if you will.
Interesting.
Which would be why they didn't care to interact with the general population quite as much, because, you know, they don't want to get into the trouble they're investigating.
And the archaeoastronomy aspect that David brought up, I know that, like, one of the pillars has the vulture, which is linked with
mm-hmm.
Cygnus, which people now take as a swan, but back then took as a vulture, I believe, if I'm correct.
Yeah, that's actually the image that I was thinking of. That was a huge thing that Graham Hancock really wanted to see when he got to visit a few years ago. And it's really interesting because Göbekli Tepe is a series of, for lack of a better term, it's a series of stone circles that, for whatever reason, and it's completely speculative because there's no way to know, in a physical sense, why they build these things. And then they're just like, no, we're done with it. We're going to fill it in.
And not only just to not walk away from it, we're done with it, but
right.
to go to the trouble of filling in these huge circles.
Yeah.
I mean...
And as they're excavating the circles, they're hitting older and older stuff. So the stuff that they first found was the newest part of the temple. I mean, it not temple, but structure.
Sure.
And they think they've found signs of a huge commerce area in there as well now.
Right.
Which you brought up.
Yeah. So, and I was only, My apologies. I was only halfway listening because I'm sitting there on my device trying to find a volcano nearby.
Right. And, no, there is because...
Mount Mesilla is roughly about 30 miles away.
Yeah. Well,
and that's a holy mountain.
My friend who does the coffee extract stuff is a volcano nut.
Okay.
And he will tell you, like, how close to the volcano the coffee beans came from just by the taste of them. And wow. I know he has talked about Turkey.
Okay.
So there is a quasi-active volcano, you know, within that history. Active volcano.
Well, the PDF of the wikis lists 14 volcanoes in Turkey, but Turkey is a big place as well.
Sure.
And this was this was only recently under the Turkey.
This
part
is
of the
Armenia.
Map. This is
yeah.
Armenia.
Right.
We're talking.
Okay.
Armenia.
So it's the energy of Mount Ararat.
Yeah.
So okay.
Yeah, which is also there. Yeah.
Right. So, let me go back to the circle thing. I'll circle back to the circle thing.
Can you Mobius back to it, please?
No. I tried. Circles are the easiest form in which to hold energy. That's why they were circles.
Yeah.
It's the easiest form in which to hold energy. Same reason that you get the domes down in Bimini, you know? So... it's the easiest form in which to hold energy. You know, we always talk about drawing a circle in paganism, not drawing a square. the point of filling them in is interesting because, like, when they abandon them and walk away from them and fill them in, it's literally like failed experiments. Like, oh, that didn't work. Let's just kind of, like, when we... decide to, like, bury a nuclear reactor kind of thing. Like, oh, that was bad. Let's just put that over there and pretend it didn't happen, whistle away, move on to the next one.
Well, the interesting thing, though, is that the newer the structure, the less ornate and the less technologically advanced it was.
Well, because you're here on this planet and you're interacting with a lower vibration energy... And much like when you listen to a news station that may not be, spouting truth and facts, you get dumber the longer you listen to it. So you hang out with energies, people, beings that have a lower vibration than you, and it starts to drop your vibration. You know, it's like tuning a piano. You hit the tuning fork and it starts to shift, you know, the stuff in the piano. The vibration of one thing affects the vibration of another thing. And so the more you devolve, really, the less intricate and ornate and talented your art's going to be and your ability to track information and that kind of stuff. Pre-dropping down into third chakra operating system, we wouldn't have done that. We wouldn't have had that effect on them. But because we were genetically dumbed down, like from a using your spiritual technology point of view, we do have the effect of dropping the vibration of other folks who interact with us, which is one of the reasons why when groups of us evolve, they step sideways so they don't have to deal with us, so that we don't mess up their evolution.
Can you blame them?
No, not really. I just keep wanting to be over there.
Right.
I'm in the wrong place. So we're coming to the end of this one. Apparently it was a one question barf. Do you have any final thoughts or questions about this place that's still not sticking in my head, but that's fine.
I'm just wondering, with the... It's too bad they can't excavate constantly. They have to go... Well, they go through seasons, and then they have to fight all the permits and everything to continue their work.
Well, and especially because you're dealing with Islam, there's a sense that you were trying to fuck with their paradigm too much, and they're not a fan.
Right.
You know, I mean, when you're messing with the Abrahamic timeline, people get really concerned, and especially when you're, you know, running a country based on, whether you own it or not, based on Islam, it's going to be harder and harder to get permits that might violate that paradigm. And we run into this in the Middle East all the time.
So do you see anything, any more significant things coming out of there?
Sure. I mean, this is a space that they could, you know, excavate for the next 200 years, and they would still find cool shit. Are they going to be able to? Meh. I mean, we here on this planet are going through a paradigm shift, and so let's see if we can't evolve past all of the restrictions we've imposed on ourselves, so that A, we can do things like excavation faster, and B, we don't have this weird bureaucracy thing to battle. I mean, I don't know how long it's going to take for the dying throes of this paradigm to die away. I do know that this next year looks really fascinating, but I'm not going to start on that because I'm going to run out of time. But, you know, it's possible that we'll move through this really fast, but it'll be really uncomfortable if we do. So,
right.
Yay. Final thoughts from either of you.
Thank you. Interesting conversation. Always interesting conversations with you.
Dave, you got anything else?
I'm just going to give a half thank you because I was only half paying attention through part of it.
We need to get you something that will just look up the information you want without you having to pay attention to it. All right. Well, this brings us to the end of our second podcast. Hopefully you have enjoyed yourself, and stay tuned. There will be more. Thanks.